Good morning, everyone.
Yeah.
Wow. How are you today? Everybody get some rain?
Praise God.
Did it cool off? The humidity's down? Thank you. Let's start today with, how about page 51, and let's stand, page 51.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. Happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the absolutely spectacular day you give us today. The sunshine, Lord, the lower temperatures, the green, Lord, the rains we received the past couple days. Lord, what a great place that we have to live. You provide all our needs, Lord. You're there for us whenever we need. We cast things at your feet, Lord. You take care of them for us. We are wanting for nothing, Lord. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today, to try to worship you, Lord, to show some love back to you. Thank you for our nation, Lord. We know it's many problems, Lord, but we pray for our nation that you'd help out there, that folks would turn to you, Lord, for the answers that they need in guiding us in our nation, Lord. Thank you for our church, Lord, our church family, the love that we try to spread here each and every time we meet, Lord. Thank you so much for that opportunity. Lord, we're expecting a little fellowship later today with some food. Thank you for that opportunity, Lord, if you tarry. Our pastor's about to speak. Lord, give him the power that he needs today, Lord, to deliver your message to us. I pray, Lord, that it would speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, that people would listen, they would understand, and they would know what's coming out of his mouth today, Lord, how it affects each and every one of us. Lord, if a decision needs to be made today, may that person do so. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How about page 100, please? 100.
is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trial sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them more and more. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest golden grain, sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my bread. Jesus is all the world to me. True to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches over me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him soon, when fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
Thank you. Let's see our announcements. Here we go. Evening service tonight at 6 o'clock. Our book study is going to continue on there. It's pretty good stuff. If you're missing out, don't forget. Personal evangelism, June 28th. Fellowship, June 26th. That is today. And Kim, Sharon, Diane are leading that up. And if you want to help, just help. July 10th is communion in the morning service. We're going to change that. See, July 5th, Women's Bible Study at 6 o'clock. July 7th, Wilton Bible Study at 6 o'clock. July 9th, Men's Bible Study, 9 in the morning. Iron sharpens iron there. Pastor's thought for the week, failure to act is acting to fail. Wow. So, guys, if you'll come forward now, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for what a beautiful day it is, Lord. Especially to come here, Lord, and sit in our pews, Lord, next to each other, talking with each other, shaking a few hands, but waiting for that message, Lord, that you have for us today. Again, Lord, guide and direct our pastor. Be with those, Lord, that are listening. Thank you, Lord, now that we can take up this offering. Please, Lord, I just ask you to be with the gift and the givers. We try to give back a small portion to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Doug's going to come up now.
Singing one of my special songs today, Savior is Waiting. And certainly he is waiting for us to make a choice and decision every day to follow him. He gives us many opportunities to do that in our life. So that'll be brought out in the phrases this morning. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. What is your answer to him? If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. Oh, how he wants to come in.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Doug. God's invitation to us. Is this someone's eyeglass case? Doug, is this yours? Lonnie, okay, we'll leave it right here. Good morning, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust you're having a good day today in your walk with the Lord, and I've taken time this morning to put him first and to worship him in spirit and in truth. I want to welcome everyone as well, whether you're a regular or a visitor here today. I haven't really had an opportunity to look at all the folks that are here, but we're thankful for everyone that's here. And I pray today that our hearts and our thinking will be motivated toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, the title of our message today is, What Have You Refused to Listen to Jesus About? And I believe this message can hit home with every one of us in this room. It's a serious message. And as you know, I'm a Bible preacher. And I believe the Word of God has and is sufficient for all of our needs and for all of our sin. And for our salvation, and everything in between. So today, we're going to hit the ground running. We got started a few minutes late. I hope to have us done on time. I want to welcome you over to fellowship in the form of food after this service, even if you did not bring anything or forgot about that, either through these doors or this door. We invite you to come over. We celebrate birthdays, and I believe we do this now every quarter. So today is that day. And please come and join, and I'd love to visit with you further and sit with you at the tables as we discourse and discuss the things of the Lord. So with that in mind, let's go to prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. Father, thank you once again for another day of your extended grace and mercy directed toward mankind. Lord, very likely in all of our hearts and minds here this morning, there are decisions that we must make. They are important decisions. And Lord, yet you have prevailed with your graciousness in these areas. Lord, we are a wayward people. And we know that that is the case. Humanity, when it fell in the garden, became wayward. And we have that propensity to sin. I ask today, Lord, that you, first of all, forgive me for my sin and cleanse me. But I also, Lord, ask that we as Christians would search our souls and that we would also come to your throne for forgiveness. Lord, we as a nation have transgressed against you. And Lord, we thank you for little gains that have been made. But we know this, Lord, that political and court rulings will not fix anything when it comes to the heart. It's only when people come to you and have their heart cleansed and your word engrafted into it. So, Lord, prepare us for the day that we live in. We are by no means home after a Supreme Court decision, but we will continue to face evil in our lives and in our land. Now, Lord, today I pray also for Fruitland Baptist Church and the attacks of the evil one, Satan. And Lord, this church has stood here for nearly 60 years. I pray today, Lord, it'll continue to walk with you. But I know this, Lord, it is endangered. And our existence is something that Satan wants to see snuffed out. He wants to take us all out. But Lord, you can overcome him, and I pray you'll work in the hearts of all of us today, of the people here. Now, Lord, again, as I stand in front of this group, it is never easy to come up to this pulpit. It is a fearful and an awesome thing to handle the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll allow me to handle it accurately today and that it'll be used of the Holy Spirit for what it is intended for and that there would be a change, Lord, in all lives here today at the preaching of the Word. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today apart from you that has never trusted you as Lord and acknowledge that they're sinful and sinners and come to the redemptive work of the cross in the blood and in the resurrection for new life. I pray, Lord, that those hearts might be spoken to today, that your Spirit would draw them unto yourself. Now, Lord, as always, I'm the weak link in this chain. I pray that you'll help me and give me the power of the Holy Spirit today. And I'll thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, as you know, Kim and I are struggling about which of us or both need to get checked for hearing loss. And you've heard some of that before me, because we have a communication problem in that we are not hearing what the other says. Some of you that are of our age and further may identify with that. There is much repetition of words and thoughts before we get the clear message. And I am willing to be tested, but I won one battle in this war this week as we took our younger grandchildren on a little junket last Wednesday, a day trip for a promised train ride and a visit to the zoo. And one of the little ones said, "Grandma, you mumble." I don't know what they said about me because I couldn't hear. But Kim and I got some mileage out of that, didn't we, this week? We sure did. We have a problem, folks, with our hearing. But even preceding our hearing, we have a problem with listening. I think we really do. I must compliment, though, the kids on this little trip, because they listened well, and we did not have one problem the whole day. We took just our younger five grandchildren, the younger five, and we took a guest of one of them as well. Anyway, the trains were on time to the minute. We had 52 minutes to eat breakfast at Princeton, Illinois, before we caught the westbound back. And by the way, we went to Niobe Zoo. We originally were going to take them to the zoo at Omaha, Henry Dorley, but it's kind of complex to travel there. It's not cheap, and it's quite a ways from home. So we took a train ride from Galesburg to Princeton and back and then to the zoo. So that was our junket. Anyway, they were on time to the minute. We told them, as we sat in the restaurant at Princeton, that when their parents were their age, that nearly every meal someone dumped their drinks. And I have nicknames for all of our grandchildren, and Leviathan, which is Levi. Leviathan in the King James Version means sea monster. So he has that name. When I had him in class in school, I had to call him Levi, but he knows his name's Leviathan. But he managed to keep the tradition intact that morning. He dumped his drink. Anyway, before the Illinois Zephyr got to Galesburg that morning, I took the little ones out. We walked along the tracks, looked at some of the things over there, the museum and so forth. And I told them, there's a yellow line here, and you need to stay behind this line, because when the train comes in, it'll be fast. And if you would fall or if you'd get sucked into the train, they cannot stop easily. So there's a warning line, and I said, you've got to stay behind this line. Stay back of that line because it's fast and they can't stop. And I know, you know what? I was so gratified because they all listened. They really did. And I didn't have to say a word. They took it very seriously when it came in. But folks, we live in times which change to a degree depending on circumstances. And we can all comprehend that. But we live in a general time when people are not listening to Jesus. And not very well, because they are listening to what? You said it, Satan and the world. And what they think oftentimes is dead wrong when it lines up with Scripture and what Jesus thinks, and is under the behest of the wicked one, Satan. Well, I have a few things to bring to us today, and you know, not all my messages are easy. They're not all 3 points in a poem. But neither is the Bible. The Bible's like I've always said, it can be a cross face like in wrestling. And if you ever are not familiar with wrestling, there is a move in real wrestling. This is not all fake wrestling, all star wrestling. But it's a cross face where the inside of your arm goes across someone's chin, and with force you crank their head around. And your body always follows your head. And sometimes we need a spiritual crossface from God. I've preached this many times to get us straightened around. We live in such a day today, but people want to continue to resist. Some of these may hit home today, but my question is, will we listen? And what will be done and the result of it? So let's consider a few this morning. But first, a sample about what the Bible has to say about people that refuse to listen to Jesus and God, and Jesus is God. Three little verses here, sections of Scripture to begin before we get into the meat of this. Jeremiah 6:10. Jeremiah 6:10 is the first one. We'll go through these rapidly. But what was the scenario in Jeremiah's time? God sent him to a message of a backslidden, stiff-necked people, Israel. And Jeremiah was not popular. You know why he was called the weeping prophet? Not because he was sad about what God sent him to do, but he was sad for the people. Because they wouldn't listen to God. And him. But he went anyway. But this is just a sampling, what I'm going to give you of all this morning, of what God had to say in those days and what he had to say in New Testament times as well. Jeremiah 6:10, let's read it together. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? This is God through Jeremiah. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken or listen. I believe that speaks directly to the day that we live in. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. And I'm going to come down, first of all, on people that claim to be born-again, Bible-believing Christians. And I'm going to come down, first of all, on myself. Junior high, senior high class this morning, we talked about that very thing. What do we do with our downtime? And how are we motivated toward God? And I believe this because it's a propensity I find within myself, that the last thing we want to do is look into His Word. And to allow His Word to change us. Acts 28:22-31. Let's hear what Paul says here. And it's throughout the Bible. These are just a few that I picked that God led me to, actually. Acts 28. Anyone know where Paul's at in this situation? Acts 28:22-31. Yeah, he's on a chain. No, I don't mean a prayer chain, even though if they had such a thing that day, he may have been on it. No, he wasn't chained in bondage to sin. He was chained up for his stand in Jesus Christ. He was under house arrest and he wore a chain. Paul tried to tell people too. People of God have been doing this all through the years. We start out though, and you can read the context on that. By the way, he's in Rome. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. These are the Jews at Rome that Paul's trying to talk to about Jesus Christ. And they said, yeah, we want to hear you. Because you're a part of this group that's called the Way, a sect. That's how biblical Christianity began. They were a bunch of outcasts. They weren't walking with the trend. It was a few. And folks, biblical Christianity has never changed. It is a few. Are you a part of those few today? Are you a part of the remnant? I ask you. Verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. By the way, they didn't have the completed canon of Scripture in that day. Paul preached from the Old Testament. And the Old Testament says the same thing as the New. It prepared the way for the New Testament, that people are needy before God, and they ought to listen to what God says, because His ways are the right ways. Notice, again here, he preached from what? Morning till evening. It doesn't say if they took a break. I assume they had cookies and Kool-Aid. But look at verse 24. Some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, or Esaias, the prophet unto our fathers. And that's what Paul's going to quote here. And they divided over the Word of God. The preaching of the Word. And here's what Isaiah said that Paul quoted. He says, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. And folks, there may be people in this room today under that very thing. You've heard the old analogy, you stumble over a dollar to get to a dime. People all the time are stumbling over the Word of God to get to something that they have on their agenda that probably Satan has planted on their agenda, and they're missing the good stuff, and they're going to miss heaven if they miss the wrong things. Now, I got to keep moving because we got a lot to go into here today. How far did I say I was going to go? Through 31. Verse 28, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they will hear it. God's grace still prevails today, but let me tell you something, it only prevails if you hear it, if you listen to it. And when they had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves, and Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The ones that wanted to reject it walked away. God's going to let you walk away today, if that's what you want. But He wants you to pay attention. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4, we got to hurry. 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4. Paul tells young Timothy, his protege, one of the main things here. Timothy was an evangelist, a preacher. Paul, he learned from the greatest, who was Paul. And Paul told Timothy what? Preach the word. The word. Be instant, in season and out of season, he says, preach it at all times. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You can look into all it. I preach messages on that. You can look into it for yourself, what those words mean. But bottom line, God wants his word preached. And he wants people to hear it. And here's the thing is with verse 3, Paul warned Timothy, he said, there's going to come a time when people will not endure truth, sound doctrine. It happened in Paul's day and Timothy's day. It's happening today. And I don't care. I'm going to tell it like it is. The churches today are a disaster. Fruitland Baptist Church is not what it ought to be. We fall short because we've let Satan speak in our ears. They will not endure or put up with sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to hire people to tell them what they want to hear. I don't take that job. You know that enough by now. I'm going to preach the word. Because this building and this gathering has doors. And if you don't want me to preach the word, let me know. Or if you don't want to hear the word preached, you have that option. But that's what Paul said. And they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul told Timothy, Paul's telling us today, people don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen. God forbid that that's us. And I believe this, and I have this in my notes, so I'll give it to you so you get your money's worth. People, even sometimes believers, will only hear what they want to hear, but reject sound doctrine, which is truth. And folks, that time is right now to a great extent. Now the meat of the message. No note cards today. You can write on your bulletins. There's a space there. No PowerPoint. You can listen on the internet if you don't catch all of it, or you can come to me. And I'll help you out with that or give you a copy of the notes. So, several topics people often refuse to listen to Jesus about. We'll go through these quickly. Number one, salvation. The scriptures are full of invites to be saved, yet people refuse to listen. John 3:16-18. I'm just going to give you a few just to reinforce here. John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, unique Son, that's the God-man Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If you're here apart from Jesus Christ, you're a walking eternal dead person. There it is. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus says, I love the whole world. Come to me. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm just giving you a smattering here of things. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But what do people say? Oh, there's other ways. Even the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham said in his later days, there may be more than one way to God. The Jews may have a certain way, others may have other ways. No! The Bible says there is one way, and it's Jesus. Hear that well today. Stop investigating the other things and investigate the truth. It's rock solid and it's airtight. Be careful who you believe. Be careful who you watch, including me. The bottom line is, though, God wants people to be saved because he came in the form of his Son to die for us on the cross and take our penalty that we should have had. And yet people, well, I think it's, you know, I think that's all a fable. Well, you didn't listen. But you did listen to someone if you think that. You listen to Satan and his minions convince you to believe a lie. By the way, that's what Satan is. He's the father of lies. Matthew 11:28-29. I'm just giving a smattering this morning. Matthew 11, 28 through 29. By the way, how many people you think went by this building this morning on the street? I can see cars on the street. They've heard the message, but they what? No. Don't want anything to do with it. Okay? Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Jesus said this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Anyone in here need a rest today? I need a physical rest, but you know what? Jesus will give you spiritual rest. Rest meaning a place of purchase. In other words, a foundation where you could, a purchase is a place that is fixed. If you've ever worked with machine tools or precision machining and so forth, you have to have, Woodrow, is this true? You have to have a fixed reference point that what? Never changes. Jesus said it, "Come unto me." Don't lie to me. Every one of us in this room today has baggage. But Jesus says, "Cast all your cares on me. I care about you." And yet people are looking for every other way to get this fixed in their lives. Jesus fixes it. He's a physician. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't want to get yoked up with Jesus. I don't want to get into that stuff. They'll ask me to teach Sunday school. Or whatever perceptions people have. Folks, if you're under that delusion today from Satan, Jesus is the easy yoke. And he invites you today. Will you listen? And then 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10. And we'll move on because it gets worse. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10. I've heard this again this week. I don't want anything to do with a God that allows bad things to happen in this world. I got news for you. The truth says he never wants that to happen, but man chose it. Free will. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10. You can read the ensuing text, but here it is. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." By the way, that's not to the believers or the people that know about God. It's to the ones that have rejected him. Boom! "In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." In other words, his end time program. He's going to work it, folks. It's coming. I just got to add this as a sidebar. What's going on in the United States today, and this is not a biblical thing I'm bringing to you, but what you're seeing in the United States today is its final days. And I'm not a prophet. But what's going on today with the currency, with inflation, with all the money that's been pumped in, 40% of the money that's in the system today was not there 2 years ago. It's phony baloney. And what's going to happen is the backside of this is going to be hit in one of these days, and this country will have been destroyed financially. And you know where that textbook thing came out of? It came out of Marxism, Leninism, the Russian guy, not Putin. Stalinism. We've been duped in America. It's like that old thing, I used to get this magazine when I was a kid called Jack and Jill. I've used this illustration before. There's a picture of the young kid on a sled with his dog pulling the sled and a hot dog and a stick a foot ahead of the dog. And that's what's happened to America. We're chasing something that's not going to be obtainable. But we'll see. And you can come back and tell me, "You were totally wrong, Pastor John," and I'll say, "I was." I can admit when I'm wrong, but I'm telling you, we're in the later days. This thing's going to go down. "It shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." What is the use if it isn't for Jesus? Are you listening? Second point today, we got to keep rolling. The reality of hell. Many people today deny hell. I agree its full-blown proportions are not there, but what is there today in a place of torment for the soul before the lake of fire comes, which is going to be even worse, is not pretty. And Jesus taught more on hell than he did on heaven. Why do you think he did that? Because he does not want people to end up there. But that is the default end of man apart from Christ. Hell awaits the unbeliever. Be warned of that this morning. Revelation 21:8, we're close to that right now. Just two things this morning, but just, I'm telling you, people don't want to talk about hell. No one likes to think of it, but folks, it's there. Revelation 21:8, here's the people that are going to end up in there. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Anyone apart from Jesus Christ is headed for hell. That's what Jesus said. It's what the Bible says. And Matthew 10:28. Again, I'm cutting corners here today, but let me tell you, it's all here in the Scriptures. Matthew 10:28 says this. This is the words of Jesus again. Are you listening? Am I listening? And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Folks, hell is eternal, and it is a living death eternally. Heaven is eternal life forever. There's a big difference. We ought to listen to Jesus. The third thing today that people refuse to listen to Jesus about is the availability of forgiveness from God and the need to forgive. They want to reject the goodness of God and His forgiveness, and they don't want to forgive others. I imagine there could be people in this room that maybe struggle with those things. And I'm even going to say I'm one. You know, I'm kind of hard-headed. Forgiveness doesn't come naturally to me. And I doubt it does to you. It has to be from the motivation of the Holy Spirit. Just a few verses, Ephesians 4:32, and I could give you scads of them. And be ye kind, tenderhearted, one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me. John 1:9, about God's forgiveness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Colossians 3:13. This is the new man. This is the born again person, the new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But here it is, Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Amen. And lastly, Matthew 6:14-15. And you better listen on this one really well. And I've digested this. I've preached on this before, but this is important stuff, and you can take it how you want to take it, but you better get the right thing that it says. So it bears some study, but Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. There's a couple of verses that are worthy of some time spent studying, praying, digesting. Enough there. The availability of forgiveness from God and the need to forgive. And many more scriptures, yet people refuse to listen, or they listen to the wrong things. Fourth point, that Jesus commands us to be his witnesses. Oh, I do other things in his work. Doesn't he allow that? You know, I mow the grass or, you know, I stay home and pray. I'm going to tell you a sad fact about Fruitland. There's very few of our people that go out that I know of, at least, that witness. I don't see them on personal evangelism night. I saw Marion Avenue's bus coming across the island this morning, full of kids. Praise God. But what's the matter here at Fruitland? We are commanded to be his witnesses. I can't fix this. I can only preach the word. Now, I'm not excusing everything other churches do. But you know what we used to have, and I'm not saying a bus ministry is the way, but what's going on? He commands us to be his witnesses. Matthew 28, since we're there, 19 through 20. No, he doesn't let certain people off because it's not their thing. Right? Jesus said it, go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, even unto the alway, even unto the end of the world or age. Amen. Witnessing is not an option for the Christian. It's just by God's grace that you've been let off the hook. But you're not off the hook. And Acts 1:8, which fits right in. It's called the Great Commission. Acts 1:8, it's about witnessing to people. Notice this, folks. You're not alone when you go out to witness to someone or who you encounter. Because here Jesus said, you're going to receive power after I'm gone. And then the next chapter in Acts, the power came. And you know what? If you're a born-again believer here today, you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you if you haven't quenched it. But if you quenched it, the power has been nullified, but that's your problem. But Jesus said this. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus commands us to be his witnesses. And people refuse to listen and come up with their own doctrines to take themselves off the hook at the behest of Satan. Number five. By the way, there's eight. We'll go quick. Believers ought to identify as believers and believers' baptism. Oh, I've heard that too a lot of times. Yeah, there are you Baptists preaching about. Now, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I do identify with a Baptist heritage. But that's not what this is about. It's about identification. And I've heard the song and dance many times. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. What about the thief on the cross? Thief on the cross was pre-church. This is church. And Jesus said we ought to be baptized if we are believers, born-again believers, and publicly identify with him. Is that not true? By the way, not to be confused, when we're born again, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you know what? It's about local visibility. Who are you identified with? If you're not identified with Jesus, you are not identified with him. You've identified yourself as one who says, I'm not going to do it. Because you've read a different doctrine or heard a different. I know there's a lot of people that claim to be born again that will not be baptized by immersion and identify with Jesus Christ. Acts 2, 38 through 41. And I can't teach this whole passage. But this is the thrust of it in a nutshell, folks. This is a pattern in Scripture. People trust Jesus Christ. They're born again by faith through God's grace. But the next step on that is that we need to identify with Jesus. And that's the pattern through the whole Testament, the New Testament, the church age. And it's identified in his death, burial, and resurrection. And it's symbolized in water baptism. It goes right back to the beginning. Old Peter's preaching here. Acts 2, 38 through 41. I got to turn the page here. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what he's saying here is because of. That's a bad translation in the King James Version. It's the Greek word eis. We are baptized because of our salvation, not for salvation. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received the word, his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What's the deal here? This is the first time that they'd heard this new program about the church, about being saved by grace through faith. God had given this to Peter through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the people, didn't argue about it, did they? They were born again, and they were baptized to identify in that new birth. And notice here it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And how far was I going here? 41, right? I've overshot my goal. We'll have to come back. We'll have to back up. And more. But as I said, the New Testament pattern is designed by God to identify as a born-again believer. Buried into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6:3 talks about that, or 6, verses 3 through 10. It shows what's happened to us internally, externally. Yet people refuse to listen, and they justify what they do to resist it. They believe another doctrine. Number 6, sin issues of all types. We better go back to Romans 6 and read this quickly. Romans 6 is a very important passage. Not that all passages aren't important. Paul's letter to the believers at Rome. Romans chapter 6. Let's just go back there real quickly here. 3 through 10 about what I was talking about earlier. Paul says, "Know ye," beginning with 3, "know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." This is all going to tie in here in just a minute. Through verse 10. "For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God." That talks about the baptism. But I redirect us to this. But sin issues of all types. I said that, didn't I? Sin! That we're involved in. Pay attention to verses 1 and 2 in Romans 6. "What shall we say then," Paul writes, "shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And what's Paul respond there to his own question? "May it never be. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" He's talking to Christians here. To believers, to born-again believers. He's talking about the severity of sin. Verses 6 and 7 I already read. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We're not under the bondage anymore. So why do we put ourselves back under it? Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, Paul says. And then look at verses 10 through 18. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, praise God, but under grace. Now here's the thing, folks. We all struggle with sin issues. But we've seen in our current day and throughout all history times where sin has been winked at more than less. And we are in an environment today where sin is really rampant, even in the Christian community. Christians must resist sin that Christ died for and conquered in our lives. I'm just going to list one this morning that has been rejected wholesale in our current day. And let me tell you, I'm not picking on anyone, but I'm just illustrating in one thing. You know, I found in my experience that funerals run about 7-1 over marriages today. You know, God ordained marriage. He ordained it in the Garden of Eden. And yet I find people today that say, I'm not going to listen to God. I'm going to do it my way. A public covenant before God of marriage. I'm not just picking on that, or if you're here in a situation like that, but I'm saying sin has been dumbed down. But it hasn't to God. And it's all over the place, folks. All the things that are going on in our world today, the wickedness. And what do we see? Many, I don't believe they're Christian organizations, but we see organizations that endorse sin. That God clearly speaks against. God's establishment of his principles have not changed. And yet today many do not listen. They reject and justify not doing what God or Jesus says. Bottom line. Number 7. Regular attendance in church and commitment to a local Bible-believing body. And yes, I mean membership. I want to tell you this. I love everyone at Fruitland. And I don't discriminate or make a difference between if you're a member here or not. But I'm going to say this today. Why not? Sure, you may still be visiting, processing that. I don't push anyone. You'll never find that push. But you know something? This is a big issue with a lot of people. I'm not getting hooked because I don't agree with some of the things they do there. You know what? I don't agree with some of the things we do here. But I'm still here. Not that I couldn't have taken a hike quite a few times. But folks, there is liberty in the body of Christ. But commitment. People are not committed to much of anything today unless it's Satan's agenda. Or the agenda that goes against what Christ has told us. The churches today are a travesty. It is not perfect and you may not agree with everything, but if it is biblically sound, join it and help it. By the way, Fruitland Baptist Church and visitors and guests here today, this is a congregationally governed church. If you're ready to throw that out the window, hear me well. It is governed under God. We do not do things the way we want to do them personally. We do as a congregation because this is the body of Christ. And we work through issues. If Fruitland's ready to get rid of that type of government, let me know. Otherwise, it stands. If you want to circumvent it and mess around, then let me know. Do you hear me? It is a treasured form of government. We have to work together even when we don't agree. Join it and help it and let it help you. I don't believe anything ever done here at Fruitland Baptist Church, if it's done in the right spirit, will ever hinder you in your walk with Christ. Hear me well, unless it's not done in the right spirit. And that happens. Yet people refuse, and people have left churches all the time, and they've church hopped and everything else. But let me tell you, pick your place, because you're going to have the same thing everywhere. Because Satan's got his target painted on Bible-believing churches. And you come up with all kinds of justifying responses of why you will or won't do this, but commit. Jesus wants us to commit. Those people in Acts had no problem with it. Why do we? Anyway, I love you, but that's something that's got to be said. You can read there in Acts chapter 2, just like we did. It worked pretty good when it was new, but then it fell apart because of people's sin, and that's what happens. Speaking of that, a church the age of Fruitland, or a church that's older, or even a church that's younger, a church usually gets about 2 generations under its belt before trouble starts. You can check me out on all that. But you know what? We need to be renewed daily in the Word of God. We need to cherish His church. We need to love one another. Forgive one another. We need to make His church be a great place. Now, some of you probably think I've been grouchy today. Well, I did wake up on the wrong side of the bed. But this message was written several days ago. Last point. Yeah. Immersion in the Word. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. One of the biggest things Satan does in my life is separate me from this word. Whether I'm here in the office studying or other places, he sends his ways that stop me from getting where I should be in his word. How about you? When we get separated from the Word, we get separated from God. It's critical. 2 Timothy, well, let's go to Psalm 119, 105. You don't have to turn there, but what's it say? Thy Word, well, it says, is a lamp and a light unto my path. In other words, this is the pathway that's made bright by the light of God, and it's found through His Word. If you stay immersed in the Word, you will find the rest of the things of life will flow. Even the hindrances will flow in a different way. But when you get separated, literally all hell can break loose in your life. 2 Timothy 2:15 through 19. I can quote most of it, but in my old age, I better just go to the text. 2:15 through 19, Paul's talking again here to Timothy, or Timotheus if you want to get technical. And what's he say? By the way, what's involved in studying? It's more than reading. I read my Bible. Well, that's great, but do you study it? Do you tear it apart? Do you apply it to your life? And allow the Spirit to apply it. Do you study it again? Do you look for more and more each time? But he tells Timothy, he says, study to show thyself. When we don't involve ourselves or immerse ourselves in God's Word, we're disapproved by God. Because He says, you're what? Remember Sergeant Carter on Gomer Pyle? Ginger, what did he say? You're not lit. I can't hear you. Implying Yeah, it's all TV, but... A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You suppose I can say today, I'm ashamed of myself. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You cannot find the word of truth unless you look and see how it covers all things and break it up. Otherwise, you come up with this charge, oh, the Bible's not true. Yes, it is true. It's irrefutable truth unless you let someone or something steer you away, once again, from rightly dividing it. Last two verses. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You listen to the false teachers, you stay away from the Scripture, you're going to grow in ungodliness. Jesus said, grow in godliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Some of the people Paul worked with in his missions had the same problem. And what happens is when you allow the word of God to not prevail in your life, it turns into a canker or a cancer. And what's it do? It eats you alive. God's word must have priority in our life. And folks, I could go on all day, but you don't want to because you want to eat. But I'm asking you, have you listened to any of this morning? I told you I fit into some of these categories. I'm not going to say what I think. Only you can know where you stand. But I'm thankful yet today, and we could go on for days, most if not all of us can fit into one or more of the examples this morning. Failure to listen to Jesus and take heed has massive ramifications. Don't let Satan and your own reasoning lead you astray any further. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What sounds good to you may not sound good to Jesus. And it's about Him. And He is the truth. Have you listened and processed what Jesus had to say this morning? A movement toward Jesus and away from yourself and Satan can begin right now. If you will listen and act. And as I say many times, your actions will make it very obvious where you're at. Personally, I think we all ought to be on our knees. You know, but that may not be how it shakes out today because people are ready to eat dinner. But if you don't do it now, when will you? It can begin now. If we'll listen to Him and act upon it. I'm done. Amen. 132. Let's stand if you're able. This is where it all comes down, folks. It's the cross. God came and paid for my sins on that cross. He came and paid for yours on that cross. And by the way, He came out of love. Jesus came with no malice toward anyone. He came out of love. People have got that all wrong too. God's going to put the hammer on. No, God doesn't want to put the hammer on you. But you're going to put it on yourself if you're duped. If you're duped by the teachings of Satan and his minions. It's all about the cross. By the way, Jesus went to the cross how? He went alone. Can you imagine that? Have you trusted in what He did for you there? Or have you found your own way? Folks, the cross is the only way. Let's sing the old rugged cross. Won't you respond today? Go ahead, Patsy. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. So Praise God. God's working in Lynn's life today. What about everyone else? It doesn't bite to come up here, does it, Lynn?
No,
it feels good, doesn't it, to stand up for Jesus? Amen. I'm going to ask this morning that Lonnie dismiss us in prayer. I'm going to visit with Lynn a little bit. Maybe someone would like to join us this morning. You know, this stuff's important, and you heard it. I pray the Lord will bless you. By the way, you can do without food for a few minutes to have a little time with Jesus. I'll ask one of you men to get them started over yonder if I don't get there. Don't come looking for me. There's things that are important that need done. Lonnie?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. For the truth of your word, Lord, thank you for our pastor standing up, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for our Savior, for what he did for us willingly. He went, Lord, and all by himself. Lord, help us to know what's true. Help us to see it, to seek it out.